Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
In the world of free agency, we would never cut Neil Coulong loose. Welcome, sir.
It's great to be here as always. I have accidentally cut you off a couple times, but you have never cut me off.
Well, I deserve to be cut off, and everybody knows it. So
I think my cheek just pressed the end button on the
phone. All right. So let's get to Edmonds. Let's start there. Where does that stand, do you think, right now?
Everything that I have heard surrounding Terrell Edmonds was there was always interest from the Steelers on getting him back. The crazy thing with all this is you got to understand the 50-year option for players is the most artificially set monetary device in the world.
Yes.
I mean, there's nothing tangible about it. It just is. It's the rule. And that's what they go with. It's not based on your playing value. And the Steelers, in my opinion, the Steelers have done, with the exception of maybe Bud Dupree, but there were extenuating circumstances with that. In my opinion, they made the correct decision with every option that they've given. This has been around since 2011 now.
Right.
They've always made the right move with that. And in my opinion, Terrell Edmonds, the decision on Terrell Edmonds at about $6.5 million a year for the fifth year was probably the toughest in terms of, I could see this going either way. I really could. And I was not surprised they didn't pick it up, but I said at the time, it's not going to be because they don't value him as a player. The safety market is just crazy. It's up in the air every year. You don't know who's going to get what, except for whatever reason, veterans who sign in free agency at the safety position tend to not do particularly well. The top of the market are guys being retained by their current teams. So I think the Steelers said, and this has been a tried and true method for them, there are free agents that they say, look, we'll let you go. We won't tag you. Go into free agency, see what you can get. And, you know, if you're interested in playing here, let us know what that is, and we'll let you know what we can do about it. I feel that they did that. And I feel that in this particular free agency market, what ended up happening was Tyrann Mathieu, who's probably going to be the free agent to set most of the market as far as the free agents go, he didn't sign right away. So you aren't really sure what other safeties are going to kind of, you know, look for in negotiations. But the Steelers, because they have really the kind of line of demarcation in that 50-year option amount, that $6.5 million, they have said, we don't value you at that. Here's our offer, which is probably under $6.5 million on a multi-year extension. Edmonds, I think, wisely wanted to kind of wait and see, and for his side as well, see what Mathieu is getting. And then see what the availability looks like. You put all those things together, it's not surprising that it's gone a couple weeks into free agency now where Edmonds hasn't signed anywhere. But the revelation that that Edmonds has an offer from the Steelers, I don't think is really all that big of a deal, just simply because they had a pretty set amount of what they were going to offer him. It's probably going to be $5.5 million a year. Something like that on a long-term deal. And I think it's definitely wise of them to lock him up. I think he's a good player. They know him. That's not a big-time price, especially when you've got your other safety kind of hanging in the wind right now for the same situation next year. To me, the way they're building their team really looks to be in the secondary. They've signed more guys to play in the secondary, I think, than they ever have at this point in offseason. They have not invested a ton draft-wise in names, but they've acquired a bunch of different players who can play inside, outside cornerback, who might be able to fill in at safety along with special teams. They're going to keep probably 9 defensive backs, maybe 10. It seems like that's the direction they want to go. And if that's the case, they've got to lock up a safety. I think Edmonds is a good player at the right price for them to be able to do that. So I would imagine, barring something with Mathieu, I would imagine that Edmonds is going to come back. And I said that last year as well. I would not write off the idea of them keeping him on a 3 or 4 year contract.
All right. So I think I've seen a little bit of a pattern with what the Steelers are doing, in that it seems like if you are 30 or under, they are willing to re-sign you. Witherspoon's a good example, right? Joe Hayden's 33, so no. I mean, is that the pattern you're seeing as well? That it, you know, if you can, if you're in your 20s, they will re-sign you. If you're over that 30-year old mark, they really want to just kind of like go in a different direction.
It seems that it's falling that way now. And I'll say this because I took some heat on this in social media over it. It almost seems like it's a premium now, because let me ask you, when was the last time they retained a cornerback and then signed two of them in the free agency market? Three cornerbacks to go with the guy that they already have on extension, giving them four signed veteran cornerbacks. Mm-hmm. And it's still a position they might address in the draft as well. Right. The commonality with all those players is exactly as you said, they're young.
Yeah.
Arthur Mallett, Witherspoon was a player that they picked up via trade last year. Levi Wallace is a pure free agent, and Cam Sutton is the extension. It shows me that their philosophy as far as defensive backs is maturing, and they're putting a little bit more money into it. I'm not saying any of these guys are Jalen Ramsey. You know, they don't need to be $20 million a year players.
Right.
But the fact is, you need a lot of cornerbacks. And just the way the game is played nowadays, there are not a whole lot of cornerbacks who are high-level successful. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. There are half as many cornerbacks that make $17 million or more a year than there are wide receivers. These are obviously adversarial positions, and teams will stock probably the same amount on their roster. Yet you're twice as likely to make that premium NFL-level money as a receiver as you are a cornerback. It just shows there are more quote-unquote good receivers than there are cornerbacks. I'd say that's more of a reflection of how the game is played nowadays. But the idea is you need to load up on cornerbacks at that kind of, you know, mid-level price point for it. And Kevin Colbert has spoken about this for years. He's always said, young guys on cheap contracts. If we can get that, we will. I think the difference is, and this is what you're speaking to, they're signing them a lot earlier in the offseason,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to Witherspoon was a trade acquisition last year for pretty cheap, and they gave him a raise. They gave him the exact same amount of money that they did Levi Wallace. And I don't think that was a coincidence. I think they had it earmarked to sign one of, you know, somebody at that price. They wanted to get a $4 million deal over 2 years for a one cornerback. And I think they just said, you know what, let's just bring both in. Let's get deeper at the cornerback position with these younger veteran guys. Draft picks are at the cornerback position in particular. It is so volatile. It's really hard to tell where a player is going to be after 2 or 3 years. Every Steelers fan is going to immediately bring up Artie Burns. Well, you know, Artie Burns is still in the league. Artie Burns is still getting paid. There's a reason for that.
Yes.
It's not easy to be a high level cornerback.
Right.
And because of that, unless you're taking, you know, Jalen Ramsey, it's really hard to project where any of them are going to be. So when you take one at 25, it's hard to say that there is a high level of probability at 25 as it would be at, say, 65. Or what Colbert is doing in you know, the final free agency of his career is they're signing guys in free agency who have proven something already, who can be acquired at a reasonable price, and they're just going to build depth. And they're going to run probably 6 billion sub packages this year, kind of similarly to what they did last year. And all these guys are going to get on the field. I don't think any one of them are going to do anything that's going to be eye popping, but they're going to have a very good secondary. And I think that the depth of talent that they have there speaks to that.
Now, this is a wild card question. Obviously, some people think the Steelers will try to go to get a wide receiver at some point in the draft. But there's a guy sitting out there. He doesn't turn 30 until November, and he's not coming off a good season. Would the Steelers have any interest in Jarvis Landry?
Choosing my words carefully here. I would say the Steelers are going to have interest in any receiver at a certain price.
Right.
I think, and this goes by what I deem to be some pretty masterful spin work by Landry's representation in discussing how it really seemed to be a mutual decision on both sides to part ways. No, they didn't want to pay you what you were scheduled to be paid, so they went out and got Amari Cooper and didn't really pay him any less. Then they got rid of you. I don't know how good or how valuable Jarvis Landry is anymore. I do think that Jarvis Landry, though, like I mentioned earlier in the segment, he's among that group of veteran players that might wait until after the draft to see what their best options are.
Right.
And probably what you eventually hit, you know, mercenary road as a receiver, you sign a series of 1-year contracts in different places at that high level mark, but nobody wants to invest in you long-term.
Right.
And again, it's because there are so many good receivers and there are so many of them available at multiple levels throughout the draft. I mean, you've never heard of the school that Adam Thielen went to. Mm-hmm. Adam Thielen had a pretty good career. I'd put his career up against Jarvis Landry's any day.
Agreed.
Very easily.
I mean, there's a trust and the dependability in how Adam Thielen plays when he's healthy that coaches love and quarterbacks love.
Yeah, I might say the same thing for Jarvis Landry, and he hasn't been healthy. So it doesn't take much for a receiver to kind of, you know, slow down if they don't have that size, if they don't have the physical attributes to be able to go down the seam, to wreak havoc as a combat catch type of guy. Jarvis Landry is not a big guy. He requires, you know, speed and precision, and with that comes timing with your quarterback. So you either want him for a couple of years to develop with somebody, or what's the value of him? I'm not sure the Steelers would say no up to a certain price point, but Landry has clearly represented that he still feels he's worth that much money. I get why he says that. I don't think that there's anything objective. I don't think there's anything objective for him to stand on to say that he's worth it.
Right.
I watched him play last year. He's not the same guy, not even close. And Cleveland clearly feels the same way. So I wouldn't imagine he's going to find a market for any higher than, you know, probably around what Juju got. And Juju at least has the size factor in his advantage. Yeah. Juju's also is pretty leveraged on what he's going to do within that offense. He can earn up to $10 million. I imagine Landry wouldn't have that many exceptions, but he's not going to earn more than 9 or 10, I wouldn't think. Mm-hmm. The longer he waits on it, too, the less likely he is to be able to cash in. I mean, there could be 7 receivers taken in the first 40 picks.
Yeah,
wouldn't surprise me at all. It's happening more and more. And these guys are better. You can see that, I'm sure, with what you do.
No
question. I remember for me that the gold standard was Odell Beckham. I watched Odell Beckham at LSU, and I was like, this is the greatest college receiver I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
They're not like this in college. He is so nuanced. He was so fluid. They're all like him now.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't long ago. I mean, you know, this is LSU, and I'll admit I absolutely have loved the receivers that LSU has put into the NFL. But Jefferson is a quintessential example of that.
Mm-hmm.
He went, 21st overall?
Right.
Like, you watch him, I'm like, wow, this guy was a top 10 pick 10 years ago.
Right.
You don't really have to train him to do anything. He's already doing it. He's a plug-and-play rookie. That just wasn't heard of at the receiver position. So why am I going to pay money for Jarvis Landry? I don't see the point. He's a target to eater, but he's not going to be a difference maker. I'm not going to pay a guy like that as a mercenary. I see why Cleveland paid him. Leader, you're here. We want to build around you. And they did that. It's time for him to move on. I don't think that's going to happen to him again.
Yeah, the reason I brought him up is that Emmanuel Sanders, for example, is 35, right? You look at Julio Jones, he's 33. A.J. Green's 34. He's the guy that's 29. So that's why I targeted him what do you think? Because I'm trying to use the 30-year-old part as a gauge. It just seems as that's where the Steelers are.
Yep, it's very true. It's very true. He's got a ton of targets, too. You got to keep that in mind. He's not just 29. I mean, you got to tack on another 2 seasons to his odometer.
Right, yeah. He's had to do a lot of running. He's been hit a lot, and you know, and that brings with it obviously wear and tear. I mean, that's part of the problem with Julio Jones. There's a lot of wear and tear.
You saw that with him badly last year. Yeah, he doesn't look at all the way he used to
look. He's got a lot of hamstring problems, as everybody knows. All right, so now we're starting to make the turn toward the draft. Here we are, just about 3 weeks away. Getting any gauge as to what they want to do with this thing?
I don't think I have felt less certain of how they're going to approach this in any other year. We're coming off historic spending on their part, which, you know, partially due to the fact that they're not paying a quarterback 20% of their cap anymore,
right.
just like 7% of it or something. But they spent a lot of money. They are clearly overhauling everything. And we've talked about this in the past. This was coming. In fact, I'd argue this was put into place last year. They started working toward this. They were going to have to transition. With the money that they're spending in free agency, what they seem to be doing on defense, a completely new offensive line, I have no idea what they're going to do. And I think that's exactly the position they wanted to put themselves in this year after not being able to use the draft as a bolster for depth. Last year, they had to go out and find starters. And I think they did a pretty good job of that. I think they identified players who could come in and play for them to a reasonable level right away. They don't have to do that this year. And I think that's why they signed as many guys as they did. That's why they're going to bring back Terrell Edmunds. More likely than not, that's going to happen. They can draft more for the future now as opposed to the present. Now, they're not going to say that, but it really just opens up everything that they want to do. And, the obvious elephant in the room here is the fact that you have to legitimately think there will be a quarterback that they have spent a lot of time scouting, talking to, probably available for them at 20. In the past, even last year, I wouldn't have said that was going to happen. It really seems like that's in play this year. And if they truly want to bring in four either paid starters or a high premium draft pick thought to be a starter within a year or two into camp, that's also unprecedented. They haven't done that, I don't know how long, for obvious reasons, but they haven't brought in that much level of competition at the quarterback position. You have to think that position's on the board in one or two. You can't say that it isn't. So to me, all this does is really, it paints a picture that they're going to let the draft come to them at 20, which I think is good, because I don't think their roster is definitely improved. I don't think they're going to be, it's going to take a lot for them to be what they were last season, which was, in my opinion, just, tragically lucky somehow. They won a lot of those games that they shouldn't have. They were not a 9-win level talent team. They grossly overachieved. They can bolster on that this year. There's more that they can build, and I think they'll do a good job of that in this draft. But I really don't know to say one direction is going to be more valuable than another. I could see them going quarterback in round one because that might be the guy that they want.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't take a running back, I don't think. But beyond that, I'm not sure we could really rule out any position in round one, because I see a roster that – nowadays, they're signing players to 2-year contracts, it seems only. So they're embracing the idea of rebuilding probably a little bit faster than they have in the past. So you draft a guy to play now or to play next year, it'll fit. It'll make sense. They could go any one of several directions.
Well, we always go in the right direction when we have you on. So, sir, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.